One of the positive things about nature for me is what it teaches me. I recently set out for a hike in the woods at a reservation near where I live, and my intention was only to spend about an hour out. But somehow I got disoriented and lost my way, and eventually what turned into an hour hike was a 3-hour hike and a 7-mile hike, and getting lost, vacillating between panicking and staying calm. And eventually, a woman was kind enough to drive me to the other side of the mountain where I got my car and I was able to get out of the mountain. But what I remembered and what was the thing I think that kept me calm was that I wrote a list while I was trying to find my way, a list of all the things I wish I had known prior to starting. And I eventually came up with a list of 20 items. And I want to share a few of them here. Follow the markers others have left behind. Remember where you started. Know your coordinates. Turn back if you have to. Don't panic. Be prepared for detours. I eventually shared this list with some young people I work with. And what we realized is that not only were these helpful in a hiking situation, but they're also helpful in life, because sometimes you have to take detours. Sometimes you need to ask for help. Sometimes you will have to go back to the starting point.
See us outside. Vernos afuera.
Capnyao ben ngoài.
Voyez-nous dehors.
Nos veja lá fora.
Tingnan mo kami sa labas.
Hame bahar dekhiye.
Keen aw pe chipping.
See us outside.
See Us Outside is a special 4-part She Explores miniseries made in collaboration with the Cairn Project with support from the Walton Family Foundation. I'm Gabachia Moreno, your guide in exploring the unique relationships girls and young women of color have with the outdoors, including the forces outside of our control that sometimes keep us from pursuing time in nature, and also the work of 4 organizations striving to create more access and opportunities for us to get outside. This is episode 2, Empowerment Through Access. For participants of successful programs committed to creating access, outdoor activities evolve from being a distant space reserved for another prescribed type of woman to becoming a habit, a memory, a pursuit, a place where one belongs. While the basic skills for outdoor safety, leave no trace, and leadership are all part of the curriculum of the organizations featured in the series, the actual adventuring that happens is shaped by the diverse collective of mentors and participants, and it does not mimic a pre-existing model of being a hiker or a surfer or a climber. But before we can gather in community for this magic to happen, there are inherent barriers that need to be overcome. Each organization I spoke with for the series creates opportunities for girls and women of color to access the outdoors, whether in the mountains, on the water, or in their local neighborhoods.
I followed the hashtag Gunks or the Gunks, and I saw that Alexis Krause from Sleigh Bells was a trad climber, and I was like, oh, sick!
This is Marion, a mentor at Young Women Who Crush. She introduced Alexis, a co-founder of the program, better than I could.
The lead singer of Sleigh Bells is a climber? Like, that's so random, but so wonderful. And then I noticed that she had an organization called Young Women Who Crush, and I was like, what's this? I looked into it, and I was like, whoa, like, this is amazing.
Alexis shared a bit about what they do and the why behind it all.
Essentially, Young Women Who Crush is a rock climbing and leadership program that serves young women and gender expansive youth from New York City. And the why is really, it's really to empower our participants to recognize not just their own physical power, but their mental, emotional power and potential through rock climbing, but also through mentorship and community. Rock climbing is a very sort of specific space, but it's amazing what the outdoors creates in terms of connection and awareness and just interdependence. And so it just becomes this one avenue in which we're able to pursue this whole kind of world of leadership and communication and community and empathy and just, yeah, I mean, I'm a rock climber and so I'm very passionate about climbing, but I feel like so much about what makes this program amazing is beyond the actual physical discipline of rock climbing.
It's worth noting that Alexis is a white cisgendered woman and that Young Women Who Crush does not exclusively serve young women and gender expansive youth of color. But they offer a free program, which minimizes the financial barriers of getting started in rock climbing. Young Women Who Crush teaches these young people how to climb indoors and gives them the opportunity to take those skills on outdoor climbing trips. But when Alexis says that the program isn't just about climbing, she's talking about the positive effects that access to this sport and timing nature can have for the participants. Alexis first brought up the power of community, which we'll talk more about in episode 3. But other meaningful experiences can be found in the challenges of rock climbing.
Obviously, there's also challenges, right? I mean, rock climbing is physically, mentally, emotionally very demanding. And so there are times when our crushers are contending with a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress that's coming from home or school. And certainly that stress manifests on the wall. And most of the time, fortunately, there's that ability to overcome, or there's that ability to maybe break down and then have a catharsis. And so I think the sort of process of that, you know, working through the challenge and proving to themselves that they can come out the other end a more capable, resilient person is also something that brings a lot of our crushers a lot of just pride. You know, we've heard the word perseverance over and over again is something that they'll talk about in their conversations. And they're often like really kind of pleasantly shocked by their resilience and their perseverance.
Rock climbing not only teaches lessons of perseverance, it also offers an opportunity to experience being truly present in the moment.
Our modern world is so full of distraction, and a lot of times our girls will talk about that. They're like, it's just really nice to have a break from social media and from answering emails and from constantly, you know, having to go from one thing to the other. And now especially juggling school and remote learning. I mean, that's just this very, very intense pace and just so much happening. And so it's very easy to like not commit to one thing and see it through. And I think one thing that climbers often talk about when they talk about why they love rock climbing is it forces you to focus on one thing. It forces you to fully commit to your body and your mind and your breath. And, you know, and that's so often what we find in the outdoors is that kind of meditative space where we can just be and kind of be unfettered by all the distractions. And so I think climbing itself is sort of a vehicle that allows these teens to just like have that ability to just really commit and focus on themselves and focus and like define the path ahead of them.
Absolutely. I will completely agree with you because I know being on a rock or on a wall, you have to be fully there. There's no other way, really.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And especially as you become more serious about it. And that's definitely something our program, as we grow as a program, you know, our climbers are not just top roping necessarily. They're lead climbing, right? They're placing their own protection. And so the stakes, you know, the stakes get higher and there's more consequence and climbing is dangerous. And that's always something that, you know, we have to kind of remind each other, even when we're in this space of just like giddy laughter. It's like, okay, like we are literally in charge of each other's lives. Every time we say, you know, on belay, belay on, climbing, climb on, like that comes with a really serious consequence. So I think that also like the seriousness of climbing and like the high consequence is definitely something that just kind of forces you into that intense focus.
When we gather to create safer spaces to be ourselves and take risks together, we can gain more than just a physical or visible skill. We gain community, we gain self-confidence, and when you add nature into the mix, we also gain an ally for our personal and collective healing. Marianne, a mentor with Young Women Who Crush, realized that she loved being outside at 20 years old when she got a job at REI. It's been especially beneficial for her mental health.
Being surrounded by the sounds of, you know, the wind blowing through the trees, the birds, the random animals, the water flowing is like, it's great. It's wonderful. And I grew up in the city for a short amount of time. And then I moved to New Jersey, in the suburbs of New Jersey. And again, I didn't connect with the outdoors till later on in life, but it's definitely has changed a lot of, you know, different aspects of how I deal with everyday life.
Marianne also speaks to a sense of agency and independence that she's found in the outdoors, which organizations like Young Women Who Crush also help foster.
The biggest thing for me has been like, and this all comes down to like mentoring as well. It's like, I have always been told like, oh, don't go outside by yourself. My mother, still to this day, if she listens to this, if you put this on, maybe she'll be upset. But like, to this day, she's like, you know, like, you didn't do that by yourself, right? Like, I'll show her pictures of like me like summiting these mountains in the Adirondacks or like in the Catskills. Like, oh yeah, look at me doing this. She's like, you didn't go alone, right? I'm like, no, I didn't go alone. But like that, being able to do that, I love adventuring with other people, but being able to like just be in that space and like being able to take care of myself and knowing what I need to do, it's such a rewarding aspect to me. And I think being able to share that experience with other people, especially younger folks, to say like, you know, like you can, if I can do this, you can do this. Being able to connect with nature and like planning and preparing and being able to do it on your own also says a lot, especially as a woman in this world.
Marianne made a big leap by quitting her job and moving to be closer to the Shawangunk Mountains, known as the Gunks. So she thinks a lot about the importance of access.
The fact that Young Women Who Crush exists for folks in New York City that maybe they wouldn't have tried any of this is like, it's pretty amazing. Thinking about access and thinking about the fact that like, some of these girls have never experienced being out in nature is super important. And for all of us that have the privilege of just coming up to these spaces whenever we want and into any outdoor space whenever we want, I think we need to take the time to think about that aspect and think about other people that don't have access, even folks that live so close to this space or any space and don't get to experience it for fun, is so interesting to me in a way where I think there needs to be more organizations like Young Women Who Crush or more people trying to help with that access. And with this sport, it's a selfish sport. Climbing is a selfish sport, but like the amount of empowerment that you get as a climber and someone who might never think that they could do something like that, everyone deserves to have that feeling.
In all the conversations I had for this series about barriers for girls of color to the outdoors, access came up the most. A common claim about the outdoors is that it's free, so it should be accessible to everyone, but it's much more complex than that.
You can look at these charts for like workflow, right? That says, okay, if your answer to this question is yes, you go this way. If it's no, you go that way. Then if your next answer is yes, you go this way, you go that way. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what it is with these kinds of programs for young girls of color. Like, well, if my family says no, or if I don't know about it, then that ends the adventure right there. That ends it right there. I don't get to go through all these other options if I can't get there, if I don't have the resources, if I don't know about it, or if I don't have the support to explore it.
This is Christy Peoples, an instructor for an outdoor organization based in Boulder, Colorado, called Women's Wilderness. Their specialty is helping girls and women become their strongest, best selves while providing a foundation of instruction in wilderness travel and outdoor skills. She's an instructor in their Trailblazers program.
The fundamental goal really was to provide training for women of color by women of color, because that was a real gap that we were noticing and that I had been experiencing myself as a Black woman in Colorado, in a very stark minority of outdoor enthusiasts.
I love Christy's example of using a flowchart or decision tree to describe access to the outdoors. Each woman of color's flowchart likely looks a little different. The questions might be, do I have the extra income or gear or time to pursue this activity? Does this activity feel too dangerous to try? But something all women of color have in common in colonized societies is the answer to the question, will I be welcome? Which is short for, have I been systemically discriminated against due to the color of my skin? The impact of discrimination is often compounded for Black girls and young women. Mira Manikam Shirley, Executive Director of Brown Girls Serve, talks about the barriers to access in relation to water sports. But much of what she talks about can be extrapolated to other outdoor activities.
When we think about access to the beach, access to surfing, right? You can start, you can just look at so many strands through which people of color have faced disproportionate barriers or just full out exclusion to coastal access, to ocean recreation. So if you think about just at the time in our country's history when swimming and public pools became a thing, right? That was a time when public spaces were segregated. Mm. There could be public pools where people of color were not allowed. Even in California, we had segregation on our beaches. And then just like a super, super huge structural issue is just thinking about like who has the privilege of living next to the coast, right?
Right.
If you look at how much in our country economic disparity falls along racial lines, so who can afford to live at the coast? And then also there's just straight up housing discrimination. If you look at the housing covenants of a lot of these coastal housing developments, that literally says you can't sell this house to people of these races. And then you have like this in surf culture, you have all this portrayal of, you know, you just like, the representation that you see of pictures of surfers are almost all white men. And if they are women, they're hyper-sexualized, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, this like the blonde bikini look and the butt shot, you know, riding the wave. So, you know, that's the landscape in which we're working. And then when you think about all this stuff and then you have localism and you think about like, well, who gets to be locals based on all the stuff I just said, you know,
right.
Who has the privilege. And then it's almost just like taken as a given that like localism, it just is what it is. It's just part of surf culture, but it's super toxic and it's super exclusionary. And it ensures that people who didn't get to grow up with that privilege of coastal access often don't feel like they're welcome or belong, you know? So yeah, all of that, it's a lot. All of that creates barriers. And then, you know, and then not to mention like the super obvious one, just like about the cost of equipment and lessons and stuff like that.
If you're not familiar, localism in surfing is essentially a locals-only policy, basically surfers not being welcoming to newcomers. This mentality isn't unique to surfing. It comes up on other outdoor activities through the weaponizing of knowledge like Leave No Trace and gatekeeping with complicated language in sports like climbing and skiing. There are lots of different ways of saying this sport or activity or place isn't for us, and it's born out of racism. Christy Peoples, an instructor at Women's Wilderness, stresses that organizations and the outdoor industry as a whole need to be doing outreach in order to break down the barriers of access.
So it requires these Women's Wilderness and the industry to make more inroads, to reach out toward these communities of young women and girls, because we're trained away from adventure and being bold so early in life that even though none of the organizations are saying, you don't belong here, this is not for you, if we've internalized it at all, if the environment has already said to us, oh, communities of color are not our priority, and nobody's stopping them. The thing is that we need more outreach. We need more access. We need more opportunities, right? Because we're already underrepresented and in many ways less inclined to participate if it doesn't seem that the opportunity is there. And so that's why I think there is a lot of opportunity and responsibility on the industry to reach these untapped communities of amazing athletes and adventurers.
Another positive aspect of creating more opportunities for girls and women of color is that it lets them decide what is and isn't for them versus having someone else making those decisions. Here's Cristal, another instructor from the Women's Wilderness Trailblazers program.
So there was this participant who, you know, was pretty hesitant about outdoors, about the backpacking trip. They've never been backpacking. They've never been camping, any of that stuff. So there were a lot of hesitations. Seeing this participant really kind of excel, and again, like the community around her having her back and being like, do it. It's okay. We're going to be safe this way. If anything happens, if there's bears, like we'll do X, Y, and Z. We have all of this. And then at the end of the backpacking experience, she was like, I appreciated that, but I'm never probably going to backpack again. So seeing her be comfortable with being uncomfortable and rising to a challenge and challenging herself, even though she came to the realization that backpacking might not be for her, she still translates that into her daily life of like, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to do it. I'm going to challenge myself. And if I don't like it, that's okay.
When we talk about barriers of access, however, the language we use is important. Just as it's important to listen to the program participants about how they want to be identified. I talked with Alexis, co-founder of Young Women Who Crush, about how her young participants shared that they didn't like how the language on the website identified them as underserved. And as we talked about in episode one, how we define and talk about the outdoors can transform our relationship with nature. Cristal explained to me that all too often companies in the outdoor industry are looking for a sob story when it comes to uplifting the lived experiences of people of color.
This sob story of, yeah, your parents are immigrants and they came over. You grew up in Gary, Indiana, like murder capital for 10 years, like, you know, in the hood, blah, blah, blah. They want that sob story. And I deflect to, no, we had a garden and that garden was magical. And I'm not going to tell you this sob story of, I never had the opportunity to be outside.
Cristal emphasizes that just because she didn't rock climb or backpack as a kid it doesn't make her or others' experiences any less valuable. Access has a lot more to do with reframing the outdoorsy story than squeezing into the existing outdated models of what it means to spend time outside.
No, my family and my ancestors connected to outdoors through gardening. So, like, let's change that narrative. Outdoor gardens or community gardens in urban landscapes, like, that's outdoor recreation.
Organizations like Young Women Who Crush and Women's Wilderness are playing a key role in allowing young women of color to find their own narratives in the outdoors by creating access for them. My mom used to always say to me, "Nadie te lo cuenta," which translates into "nobody tells you about it." But it actually means that you've been able to experience something for yourself. She always used to say this to me as a way of encouraging me to try new things without considering what others might say or are saying about it. I want to leave us with a few important words from Christy.
For as much stuff as I like to do outside and being a leader and somebody who speaks about this a lot and who's very passionate about it and who was one of those young girls of color tentatively finding my way in various programs and opportunities and not always feeling welcomed and stuff, I know it is tremendously important for young girls of color, young women, full-on women, where you are on the spectrum and continuum of age and experience, it's so important for us to honor our own sense of wonder and possibility and fun without letting those narratives that you talked about earlier, without letting those impede our experience, because when we really give ourselves permission to simply be out in nature, the possibilities for our adventure are limitless. And so are we.
This was episode 2 of See Us Outside, a 4-part She Explores miniseries made in collaboration with the Cairn Project and made possible with a grant by the Walton Family Foundation. All 4 parts are available in your feed now. Learn more about the Cairn Project and their work to make outdoor experiences more accessible for girls and young women by heading to their website at cairnproject.org. You can learn more about Young Women Who Crush, Women's Wilderness, Brown Girl Surf, and all the organizations mentioned in this series through the links in our show notes and via the landing page at she-explores.com. Thank you to Alexis Krauss, Marianne Perez, Christy Peoples, Mir Manikam Shirley, and Cristal Cisneros for their time and conversation. The voice memo included in this episode was submitted by Gabriela Ballard. The opening See Us Outside compilation includes the voices of Marinel de Jesus, Yakuta Punuvala, McGee PNEND, Fernanda Jarjim, Arlene, Chi Pham, Denise Meeker, and Doreen Wong. And it includes Spanish, French, Portuguese, Tagalog, Hindi, Vietnamese, Cantonese, and English. Music in the series is all by women of color via Music Bet. Featured in this episode are Joy Ike and Sita. This episode was hosted by me, Gabacha Moreno, and produced by me, Gail Straub, and Noel Russell. See Us Outside is a She Explores miniseries and a production of Ravel Media.